Okay, good evening, everyone. Just to continue with some of the halachos of Kiddush, so I titled the shiur Sitting or Standing, so we'll talk about that. But before we get there, I want to talk about what we ended with last week, and then we'll move to sitting or standing. So last week we mentioned at the very end of the shiur, we mentioned the concept of not eating anything before Kiddush. So we saw very briefly, for those who weren't there, the Shulchan Aruch in source, which is not numbered, I forgot to number them, but if you look at the first source, the Shulchan Aruch writes that a person is not supposed to eat before Kiddush. Asur litom klum kodem sheikadesh afilu mayim. You're not even supposed to drink water before you make Kiddush. Right away you make Kiddush and not supposed to have anything. Now why is that? Why is it that that you're not supposed to eat anything or drink anything before Kiddush? So the Mishnah Berurah explains that it's an Isser D'Rabbanan. Okay, it's based on, it's a rabbinic prohibition. Obviously, this is not a Torah prohibition. And the concept is that once Shabbos begins, so now I have an obligation to make Kiddush. Once the obligation to make Kiddush is upon me, so I can't be eating. I have to go ahead and do the mitzvah. I can't eat anything before I do that mitzvah. Writes the Mishnah Berurah, Asur Litom, V'zeo Rak Isser D'Rabbanan. Since as soon as Shabbos comes in, now I have an obligation to make Kiddush. Even if you didn't accept Shabbos, right? Just Shabbos starts and that's it. It starts, you know, ready or not. As soon as Shkia hits, as soon as it's sunset, so now it's Shabbos is now upon me. That even if you accept Shabbos early, so even if you make early Shabbos, you can't eat until Kiddush. So most of us, we make early Shabbos and we come home and we make Kiddush. So it's not a big deal. But theoretically, if you were to make early Shabbos, but then you're not going to eat, you're not going to make Kiddush until much later, you're going to someone who made late Shabbos, so then it would be a little tricky. You wouldn't be able to eat or drink until you hear Kiddush from the time that you accepted Shabbos. So that's the halacha. Now, what about now? So that's pretty much, you know, self-explanatory in terms of the nighttime. What about the daytime Kiddush? What about Shabbos day, Shabbos morning? So am I allowed to eat Shabbos morning before I hear Kiddush? Or does the same halacha apply? That just like Friday night, I can't eat before Kiddush. So Shabbos day also, I can't eat before Kiddush. And if it does apply, at what point does that begin? Right? When does it begin? So the halacha is that the same thing applies. Just like I cannot eat before the Friday night Kiddush, I also cannot eat before the Shabbos day Kiddush. Now, the tricky question is, when does that begin? Right? When does that begin? Does that mean as soon as I wake up, now I have an obligation to hear Kiddush, and I can't eat anything? But what if I want a cup of coffee before davening? You know, I have to have a cup of coffee, right? Or a cup of water, right? I mean, the Shulchan Aruch said, afilu mayim for Friday night, okay? So, but Shabbos morning, you're going to wake up and not have anything? So writes the Shulchan Aruch in the third paragraph, V'gamzeh HaKiddush, he's referring to the daytime Kiddush, Tzarech Shiyeh B'makom Suda, we'll talk about that another time, Shelo Yitom Kodem Lo Klum Kimo B'Kiddush HaLayla. He says also, he can't taste anything, can't eat anything before Kiddush, just like the nighttime Kiddush. Umihu, however, Lishtos Mayim B'Boker Kodem Tefila Mutter, writes the Shulchan Aruch, that you're allowed to drink water before davening, because the obligation to make Kiddush is not yet upon you. So let's back up here a second. Okay? There is a general discussion about eating before davening. Nothing to do with Shabbos. Let's say it's a Tuesday morning. Okay? Can I sit down and eat breakfast before davening? So technically speaking, the halacha is that you're not supposed to. You're not supposed to eat breakfast before davening. Why? You're supposed to daven first. Because the Gemara bases it on several reasons, some psukim. The idea is that when I wake up in the morning, the first thing that I should do is speak to my Creator before I take care of myself. Now, before I indulge in my own pleasures of the morning, and I sit down with my scrambled egg and my bowl of Wheaties or whatever else I'm eating. So before I do that, I should talk to God. I should you know, discuss my life and my concerns with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's generally speaking, that's the halacha, that a person should daven first and then eat. Now, there are certain exceptions to that. So for example, exception number one, Shulchan Aruch says that there's no problem to take a drink of water before davening. That's not, again, I'm talking about a Tuesday morning, right? Nothing to do with Kiddush. No problem to take a drink of water before davening. Why? Because a drink of water, I'm just quenching my thirst. You wouldn't call that indulging in a pleasure to sit down to a breakfast, you know, pancakes and everything. Okay, so that's maybe I'm indulging in my pleasures. But to drink a cup of water, I'm a little thirsty. I want to drink a cup of water to quench my thirst. There's nothing wrong with that. So no problem to drink a cup of water. Now, what about coffee and tea? Right? What about coffee and tea? So again, the same thing there. The Mishnah Berurah says that when it comes to coffee and tea, those are drinks that people usually drink in the morning, not to indulge, but people drink coffee and tea in the morning because they want to get settled. You know, before I can't even talk to me before I have my coffee. You know, I can't. I'm a different person. You know, I'm not the same person. So there we go. Right, Exhibit A. So here I'm not drinking my coffee or my tea because I want to indulge. It's part of like a delicious, pleasurable breakfast. I'm drinking it because I just need this to get my day started. So that's okay, coffee and tea. But other foods, even a small amount of food, the halacha is that you should really daven first before eating breakfast. Now, what about when it comes to Shabbos? So that's when it comes to davening in general. So writes the Shulchan Aruch, which we just read, that the same halachos, that's why he says you can drink water before davening, because the same halachos that apply during the week apply to Shabbos as well, meaning that there's no issue of making Kiddush before davening on Shabbos morning. So when I wake up Shabbos morning, and I'm davening at 9 o'clock, and I wake up at 5:30, because that's when my kids wake up, so I wake up at 5:30 or 6 o'clock, so I'm up, no problem. I can have a cup of water, I can have a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, exactly what the halacha is on a Tuesday morning, I can have on a Shabbos morning. Ah, what about Kiddush? Right, what about Shabbos morning? I have to make Kiddush. So the halacha is, right, so Shulchan Aruch, you don't have to worry about Kiddush just yet. No issue of Kiddush just yet. Why not? So comes the Mishnah Berurah and says, first of all, I brought the Mishnah Berurah that writes that men and women are the same regarding this. Right, that's number one. V'gam hanashim shayachim b'inyan zeh, to call me lay the Shabbos, ish v'ish ha-shavin. When it comes to Shabbos halachos, we know that men and women are exactly the same. Doesn't make a difference. Mitzvah to say shazman grama, not. We said that, we mentioned that last week, that since women are obligated in all the negative commandments, women are obligated in all the positive commandments of Shabbos also, even if they're time-bound. So men and women are exactly the same when it comes to the laws of Kiddush. Now, so why Shabbos morning do I not have to worry about it? Writes the second Mishnah Berurah there, the Kiddush ein shayach ela bizman hasuda. When does the obligation of Kiddush begin? Kiddush is connected to my Shabbos suda. So that means that the obligation to make Kiddush on Shabbos morning does not begin until it's time for the Shabbos Suda. When is the time for the Shabbos Suda? After davening. Right? I can't eat the Shabbos Suda before davening. I can only eat the Shabbos Suda after davening. So since before davening, there's no requirement to have a Shabbos Suda yet. The whole time for the Shabbos Suda is not until later. So therefore, there's absolutely no obligation to make Kiddush yet, because the time for the Suda is not yet. So since I have no obligation to make Kiddush, I revert back to my old Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday halachos, and therefore before davening, I can have my water, I can have my coffee, I can have my tea. Yeah?
If the Kiddush is connected to your Seuda, and that's why you don't have to make it in the morning,
right,
then you should not be able to, and maybe this is opening a can of worms, you should not be able to go to Kiddush after shul, make Kiddush, and come home.
And not eat a Seuda.
And say, I already made Kiddush, let's go wash and I come out.
Good question. We'll talk about that in a week or two when we talk about Kiddush B'makom Suda. It's a good question, but we'll talk about it, as part of a larger discussion. Not a can of worms, but, a can. We'll talk about it in another week. Okay, so very important, when it comes before davening, I have no obligation to make Kiddush yet. Right? So I'm back to regular weekday halachos. Now, the Aruch HaShulchan explains some of this, and I want to get into some of these some interesting points here, because I just said coffee and tea. But can a person have milk and sugar in my coffee and tea? What about a frappuccino? Right? Coffee has come to take on new ideas and new meanings in 2015, right? Coffee used to be a cup of Folgers coffee. Now it's you know, it's, I don't know, it's flavors and it's whipped cream and all sorts of different things in there. Is that also included? Or maybe that's already, you know, pushing it a little bit. That's not just to calm my mind and to get me ready for my new day. You know, I can't start my day without my Frappuccino. You know, or it's different. We'll see. So writes the Aruch HaShulchan. I don't think they had Frappuccinos in his time. But writes the Aruch HaShulchan. V'kasva tur v'ashulchan aruch. D'mayim mutu lishos kol d'mat tefila, d'mayim lo shayich gaiva. So he says, the reason why you're allowed to drink water before davening is because there's no gaiva, there's no indulgence in my physical pleasures when I drink a cup of water. Right? Again, I'm just quenching my thirst. I'm not indulging before davening, so it's not a violation of indulging in my own needs before I speak with my Creator. Umutar bein b'chol bein b'shabbos v'yom tov, no problem. You're allowed to do it during the week, you're allowed to do it on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Te'afagav dekodem kiddush asr litom, and as we just said, he says, even though before kiddush you're not allowed to eat anything, mikomakum kodem atfila, lo chayla lo vadayin chovas kiddush, there's no obligation to make kiddush just yet. What about tea? Right, so what about tea? Right, the Aruch HaShulchan. V'chein ha-menega pashut lishtos mayim chamim im esev. Interesting way of describing tea. Shekorin teh kodem atfila. If you translate that literally, it sounds like water with grass inside. Okay, shekorin teh. Okay, so for those who don't like tea, that's probably how they think of it. It's just water. It's water with the grass. You know, but if you're a fine tea drinker, so then this is a crass way of describing a good cup of tea. But writes the Aruch HaShulchan, you're allowed to drink tea before davening. And he says, by the way, you know, some people say you can't have sugar in your tea. You can't have sugar. Why? Because already sugar is you're indulging. That's already, you know, you're enjoying the coffee too much. That's not just to get your mind settled to start your day. You're indulging in your coffee. V'yesha asu l'shtosim tzukar. V'eini yodeh hatam. He says, but I don't really get it. I don't understand this prohibition. People talk about it. You can't put sugar in your coffee or your tea. But is that considered eating? You're not eating the sugar, right? It's not like I'm sitting down to bite into the sugar. I'm not eating the sugar. You just want it to taste a little. You know, you want it to taste good. You want your hot water. You want your tea. You want your coffee to taste okay. So that's fine. So he says there's no problem to have sugar. Now, by the way, it seems very clear that the minhag ha'olam is that when you have coffee before davening, you have sugar. You're allowed to have sugar to make it tasty. What about milk? So it seems that the minhag is to have milk as well, but he's not excited about milk. He writes, "Avalim chalav nearly the aser the chalav masbia." He says milk is already, you know, it's a person drinks a cup of milk, it satiates you. It's not just a thirst quencher. Milk already satiates you to a large degree. So that you can't have before davening, he writes. But Ori says, interestingly, deba midam. Chazal tell us that milk actually comes from blood. Okay, the way that the milk is produced in the body of a cow is that it comes from blood. Dedam nechar v'nasa chalav. It's somehow produced from the blood. V'shayach b'zekodem shetispalu al dimchem. So he says, if you think about the statement of Chazal, that before you daven for your blood, you shouldn't be involved in other things. So therefore, since milk comes from blood, you shouldn't drink milk. Now, I know this sounds a little gross, but if you do a little research, it does seem that there is some correlation between the way that the milk is produced in the body of the cow, you know, with certain, I don't remember exactly now, with certain enzymes and things like that, that it actually comes from certain aspects of the bloodstream. You know, certain elements of the bloodstream do go into the production of milk. It's not just that the blood turns into milk, obviously, but there's some kind of a connection between the blood and becoming a cow producing milk. So that's what he says. Now he says, by the way, he says the minhag is that people do drink it, right? That people do drink milk in their coffee. He says, because in general, you know, people don't drink the milk in their coffee because the milk, you know, satiates you. You drink milk in your coffee to add a little taste. You know, people usually put in just a little bit of milk. You put in a little milk, it brightens it up a little bit, it lightens it, it gives it a little creamier taste. That's why we have milk in our coffee. Vagam coffee, he says, that you could drink coffee as well. So it seems that the minhag is, as is very clear from the Aruch HaShulchan already in his time, the minhag is to drink coffee with milk and sugar before davening. And even today, even those who are very careful not to eat breakfast before davening, not to eat anything but coffee with milk and sugar, they do drink. I personally, interestingly enough, I generally drink coffee with milk and sugar. Before davening, I don't drink milk. I just drink sugar. A little bit of sugar just to make it palatable. Why? Because my Rav, when I was in Baltimore, I had a particular Rav that I was close with, and I used to ask him all my shilas, and this one particular shila, he wasn't known as a very big machmir, this Rav. He's Mekel Machmir, he was a big Talmid Chacham. This particular shila, he was machmir about. He held like those shitos that are machmir, that you should not have coffee you should not have milk in your coffee, just sugar. The point is, again, because the point is to make it palatable. You're not sitting down to a nice, enjoyable coffee for breakfast. That you could do after davening. Before davening, it's just the point, the point is just to settle yourself. You need a little caffeine before you start your day. So that's fun, as long as you can get it down. That's the intention. So that's the chumrah that I took upon myself from asking. But it seems that the minhag ha'olam is certainly to drink milk and sugar in your coffee. By the way, so I asked my Rav, I remember when I was discussing the shiloh with him, so I said, but it's very hot, so, I just use the coffee sometimes to cool it down. So he looks at me and he says, so put in some cold water, Put in cold water. You want to cool down your coffee, you put in some cold water. It'll work the same as cold milk. So that's my personal chumrah, but it seems, again, that the minhag ha'olam is certainly to have coffee with milk and sugar before davening. Now, by the way, as an aside, I wouldn't necessarily go ahead and make my frappuccino before davening. But even if you go with this minhag ha'olam to have coffee with milk and sugar, it doesn't mean that you should, really indulge and have a flavored coffee with whipped cream or whatever else that people do to their coffees. A regular standard coffee that most people drink, I think, is within the pale. But when you overdo it and make one of these very fancy coffees, even if you're making it for yourself, not that you're getting it from Starbucks, but you're making it for yourself, I think that's a little bit of more of a shaila to do before davening. Okay. That's just an aside before davening in general. So this is drinking, eating before davening. Again, Shabbos morning before davening, no problem of Kiddush. We don't have the obligation of Kiddush just yet. Last week also we mentioned a little bit about the various parts of Kiddush. So we mentioned that Friday night, Kiddush is really comprised of three parts, right? You begin with Vayechulu, and then you make the bracha of Bari Pri Hagafen, and then you have the bracha of Mekadesh HaShabbos. The real part of Kiddush that we know is Mekadesh HaShabbos. That's really Kiddush. Vayechulu we begin with because we said really you're supposed to say that as part of Shmoneh Esrei. We repeat it after davening in shul because not everybody, because of Yantiv, where we don't say it in Shmoneh Esrei, and we really only say it at home for our women and children who didn't daven Maariv. So that's what we mentioned last week in terms of Vayechulu. The Bari Pri Hagafen, obviously you have to make a Bari Pri Hagafen whenever you have a cup of wine. So that's an essential part of the Kiddush process. But the actual Kiddush is really just that last bracha of Mekadesh HaShabbos. We mentioned also that when it comes to Shabbos morning, the real Kiddush is just Bari Pri Hagafen. That's the real Kiddush. And everything else that we say, some people start from Im Tashiv or Alkein or Shamru or wherever you start from, that's all Minhagim. That's all Minhagim. Again, if it's whatever your minhag is, that's what you should do. Don't just cut it out and say Bari Pri Hagafen now. But those are all various Minhagim. Okay. interestingly, Friday night, we begin, we don't begin with the words Vayechulu, right? How do we begin? Vayir Vayevoker, right? Vayir Vayevoker. Okay, so if you look at the Shulchan Aruch, I'm just skipping the first one, because we mentioned it last week, but if you look at the second Shulchan Aruch towards the bottom of the page, he writes, Ki maschilin yom ha-shishi vayechulu ha-shamayim v'nirmaz Hashem b'roshei tevos. We start with yom ha-shishi, and then vayechulu ha-shamayim. Right, Yom HaShishi VaYechulu HaShemayim. Why? Because there we have the Shem Hashem in the as an acronym with the first letters of those words. Yom the Yud HaShishi He VaYehi Erev VaYehi Voker. Right? I'm sorry. Yom HaShishi VaYechulu HaShemayim. I'm sorry. VaYechulu HaShemayim. Right. So you have Yud He Vav Yud He Vav He. Okay. So that's a remez. That's a hint to Hashem's name. So that's why we start with Yom HaShishi. And then we begin Vayechulu. Interestingly, when it comes to beginning Kiddush, the Shulchan Aruch writes that when you start, right before you start Kiddush, you should look at the candles. Take a look at the candles. Some people have this custom. I personally do this. Ukeshemascha yitein einav b'neiros. We'll see in a minute why that is. But he says, when you're making the Kiddush, where should you be looking? This is an interesting question.
In a sitter.
In a sitter, okay? So in a sitter, so you know the words, actually a good point. But the Shulchan Aruch writes, when you make Kiddush, you should be looking at the kos. You should be looking at the kos, okay? Now, when he says that, he's referring to that when you make the brach of Bar Pri HaGafen, and perhaps Mekadesh HaShabbos, you should look at the kos. Okay, why? What's the idea of looking at the kos? You know, looking at the cup of wine while you make that bracha? It helps you focus. Because we all know, sometimes even if we're making Kiddush, if something's going on in the house, and someone's making, you know, there's a kid making noise, or something's happening in the kitchen, or, you know, or the kids are poking each other, you know, which sometimes happens during Kiddush or something like that. So what happens? You know, our minds, all of a sudden, our words, our mouths are saying the words of Kiddush, but our minds start drifting to whatever else is going on. So this way, the Shulchan Aruch writes, that when you make the bracha, actual bracha of Kiddush, just take a look at the kos, so that way it will focus you, no matter what else is going on, it'll focus you to focus on what's going on the Kiddush that's being said. Now, looking in the sitter...
Why is it different than making a praise on the apple?
It's a good question. Good question. You know, in general, we should always look at the food, you know, because bird prey, it's also we're getting distracted. It's a good point. I don't know. They talk about the fact that when you make a bar praise, you should hold the apple. You know, because they already, the bracha is, you know, being said on the apple, so at least hold the apple. I'm not sure that there's any halacha that you have to look at the apple when you make it. But it's an interesting point. Maybe there's less of a chance of distraction, maybe. Good question. Good question. But the in terms of looking in the sitter, it's actually a good point, because there's a halacha that a person is not supposed to really say psukim by heart. Right? You're not supposed to just get up and say psukim by heart. Why? Because very often what happens when we say psukim by heart? We mess them up. You know, you start saying the wrong words. It's hard to remember, you know, psukim. I'm just thinking in my head of one particular pasuk that I've recently heard several people quote incorrectly. Incorrectly. A pasuk from the, you know, this past week's parsha. I've heard several people quote the pasuk incorrectly. They were close. And I'm talking about rabbis, by the way. Not, you know, rabbis. They were close. But they quoted it a little bit incorrectly, you know. So sometimes it's hard to remember the exact wording of psukim. So in general, it's not a great idea. The Chazal talk about the fact that we're not supposed to say psukim by heart. Things that we're very familiar with, Kriya Shema, for example, other psukim that are part of davening, things that we're very familiar with. So then they say it's okay to say them by heart. One opinion, I believe it's the opinion of the Vilna Gaon, holds that what this is really referring to is that when I'm saying a pasuk to fulfill someone else's obligation, that's when I can't say it by heart. Because if I'm not just doing my thing, but I'm actually helping you fulfill your obligation, I can't say a pasuk by heart. I have to look inside and see what I'm saying. So that's why when it comes to Vayichulu, which is now part of Kiddush, and now I'm not just saying Kiddush for myself, but I'm saying Kiddush for whomever else is sitting at the table, and I'm reading psukim as part of their fulfillment of that mitzvah, so then I have to look inside at Vayichulu. So if you take his opinion literally, if you take his opinion seriously, then really what you should do is for Vayichulu, you should be looking inside the bencher, or inside the sitter, you know, at least for Vayichulu, because those are psukim. And then when it comes to the brachos, look at the Kiddush cup. We usually, you know, that by that point we can do it by heart. And at that point, look at the Kiddush cup to focus us. But certainly if you're looking at the bencher, because you need to know the words, that's obviously okay, that's totally fine to do that. Okay, so we said we begin Yom HaShishi. Now, some people actually begin a little earlier, and they start with Vayera Vayvoker, right? Yom HaShishi. And the Levush actually says that that when you begin, Ukeshemaskil, Shemati Sheyaskil Belachash Lomar Vayera Vayvoker, V'yachikach Yaskil B'kol Rom, Yom HaShishi Vayichulu HaShamayim. And some have this practice, that they begin saying Vayera Vayvoker quietly, because that's not, you don't have yet the Rosh Tevos of Yud Hey Vav Hey. And then they begin saying out loud, Yom HaShishi. That's where they begin out loud. So they start saying Vayera Vayvoker quietly, and then Yom HaShishi out loud, because that's the first Yud, Yud Hey Vav Hey. That's the Rosh Tevos of the Shem HaShem. There's another practice where that some people actually start saying more. They start earlier, okay? And they start with Vayera Elokim, Es kol asher asa v'hinei tov me'od, v'yera v'yvoker, and then Yom HaShishi. Why do they say that whole thing? V'yera Elokim, Es kol asher asa. And here again, right, this is one of my practices. I start with V'yera Elokim. Why? Because that's the full pasuk. And also, Chazal talk about the fact that we're not, technically speaking, we're not supposed to chop up psukim, right? Kol pasuk de lo paske, Moshe anan lo paskinan. If Moshe didn't separate a certain pasuk in a certain way, we shouldn't then go ahead and start, you know, chopping it up in a way that he didn't. So that's why some say you shouldn't start with Vayera Vayvoker, because that's in the middle of a pasuk. Start from Vayara Elokim es kol asher asa. That's the beginning of the pasuk, so you could say it quietly, and then Yom HaShish, you start saying out loud. That's why some say the whole pasuk. The Aruch HaShulchan actually quotes this custom on the second page, second side of the page, and he writes that when it comes to looking at the cup, first he writes, when it comes to looking at the cup, he says that's a halacha, like any kol shel bracha, you're supposed to look at the cup. He writes the idea of looking at the candles we mentioned. Right, the Shulchan Aruch says that before you begin, you should look at the candles. He says that's like a Kabbalistic idea, you know, based on Nistar. That's a Kabbalistic idea. Somehow it's good for your eyes. It's a refuah for the eyes. You have to talk to the, you have to talk to the ophthalmologists. But, you know, apparently it's good for the eyes if you look at the candles before you begin Kiddush. It's a refuah for the eyes. If you look at the end of the first line, he writes, "V'hinei tevos yom hashishi heim sof pasuk devayara lokim es kol asher asav v'hinei tov meod vayera vayvoker yom hashishi." He says those words, "Vayera vayvoker yom hashishi," are actually the end. Those words are the ending of a pasuk. Vayara lokim es kol asher asav. V'lachein, he says, "Yesh nagu lomar belachash kol pasuk azeh." Some say the whole pasuk quietly. U'maschilin min yom hashishi bekol rab, and then they start saying yom hashishi out loud. V'atam kidei shelotia aschala be'emtza pasuk v'nachonu. He says that's the proper minhag, right? You shouldn't just start in the middle of a pasuk. By the way, there are other cases like this where we in davening sometimes start from the middle of a pasuk. For example, we don't start from the middle of a pasuk, but Vizos HaTorah, right? Vizos HaTorah Asher Samosha Lefnei Bnei Yisrael. We say, what do we say? Lefnei Bnei Yisrael Al Pi Hashem, right? Isn't that what we say? That's not the end of the pasuk, right? So if you look at the pasuk says Al Pi Hashem Yachanu. V'alpi Hashem Yisoh, that's Mishra, right? The whole pasuk there. So some have the practice that when they say V'zosa Torah, they say that whole pasuk. Because again, you know, we shouldn't be chopping up psukim. I'm not saying everybody has to do that, because if that's our minhag, that's what we say. Okay, so that's our minhag. But certainly as a chumrah, it's a nice chumrah to do that. Not to stop in the middle of the pasuk. Now some might notice that we, you know, very often before we begin Kiddush, people say Savri, right? Savri. Everybody says a little something different. Savri, Savri Maranan, Savri Maranan Rabbanan, Savri Maranan Rabbanan Rabbasai, right? There's all these different permutations if you look in different benchers or sidurim. So the Shulchan Aruch writes that you should say Savri Rabbosai. Savri Rabbosai, okay? Why? Why do we say Savri Rabbosai before we say the bracha Bore Pri Agafen? So he writes, Vayomer, in the Shulchan Aruch, the second source there on the second side, Vayomer Savri Rabosai Ratzalomar, Sovri Matem Latzeis Bebracha Zu. Hey, you sitting at the table, you want to be Yotze with my bracha? Savri Rabosai, right? Rabosai. Are you thinking that you want to be Yotze with my bracha? Be prepared. Okay, you're basically waking people up at the table that if you want to be Yotze with my bracha, pay attention to what I'm about to say. So that's why we say Savri Rabosai. He says you shouldn't say birshus velo yomer birshus rabosai. Chen komakish mevarchen alayim mishum birchas hayayin shebesuch asud einam birshus ala savri mitam shen izbar. Savri, right? Because you don't have to ask rishus. You're the balabais. You're making kiddush. You don't have to ask rishus, right? You say savri rabosai just to wake people up and say, listen, if you want to be yotze with my bracha, just pay attention to what I'm saying. The Mishnah Berurah writes. Actually, we'll skip this one. He just explains a bit, more or less what I just said. And he writes, Mishnah Berurah does say in the next one, in Mem Vav, he writes that any time you're making a Bar Pri HaGafen and you're being motzi other people, so Kiddush, Havdalah, anything like that, you should really follow this and say Savri Rabosai. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav, which was a Lubavitcher Rebbe, he has a very similar formula, but he writes Savri Maranan. Savri Maranan. Okay? Motzi. Okay, so when we make hamotzi, we'll talk about that when we get to Lecha Mishnah. So there we say Bereshus. So that's a little different. We'll talk about it there. But when it comes to Kiddush, we say Savri. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav. Right. Well, it's only when you're being motzi somewhere. Right. Okay, so Shulchan Aruch HaRav writes, "Umitam ze nispashe damidik b'chol mokom shemavarchin al yain kigon b'kiddush v'avdola." Anytime you make a bracha on wine, kiddush and avdola, and anything like that, "Yimechon mevarch lekulam latzeis b'rechaso." If one person is making the bracha, he's being motzi everyone else in his bracha. Omer savri maranon. He should say savri maranon v'lo b'rishus maranon. Kidei shelo lachlok b'berchas hayain b'nei mevarchim shelo b'shas hasuda b'nei yain habalahem v'soch hasuda. All right, I don't want to get into that right now. That's a little bit of a separate thing. So he writes savri maranon. Now, what about if you're making kiddush for yourself? No one else is there, right? I'm home alone, making kiddush by myself. Do I have to say savri maranon or savri rabosai? So seemingly, you would say no, right? If the whole point is just to wake everybody up at the table and say, "Hey, pay attention to what I'm saying. I'm being motzi you." So if you're saying it by yourself, then seemingly you shouldn't have to. Of course, the Shalah writes, if you look at the next source, which is Rav Simcha Bunim Cohen, in his Ha'aros, he points out that in the Siddur Shalah, he writes that afilu kishem kaddish ba'atzmo, even when you're making kiddush by yourself, hu omer hamilim savri maranon. You do say savri maranon, even if you're doing it by yourself. Presumably it's because of a low plug, you know, once we're saying it, so we just say it across the board just to keep things, to keep things clear. We shouldn't start making these differences and distinctions between different times that we're saying kiddush. Again, whatever your practice is, some people say savri, some people say savri maranon. Whatever your personal practice is, that's totally fine. Again, the language of the Shulchan Aruch is savri rabosai, and then you'll find in other benchers and other sidurim different permutations of that, but they're all totally fine. Okay. Now getting to sitting or standing during kiddush. Sitting or standing during kiddush. So if you look at the Shulchan Aruch, Shulchan Aruch is very clear that when you make kiddush, he writes, "V'omer vayechulu me'umad." You should say vayechulu standing up. Say vayechulu standing up. V'yachar kach omer bar pri agafen. V'yachar kach kiddush. And then say Baruch Pri Hagafen and Kiddush. Now he doesn't say if those should be done sitting down or standing up. He says Vayechulu should be said standing up. And then he says, you know, just make the rest of the Kiddush. He doesn't really explain standing up, you know, standing up or sitting down. The Rabbah writes, V'yachol Abba B'shas HaKiddush. That if you want, you can remain standing. You stand for Vayechulu. And as the Shulchan Aruch says, you can remain standing throughout the rest of the Kiddush if you wish. However, the Yoser Tov Leishev. So the Rambam says, but it's better if you sit. It's better if you sit for Kiddush. Okay? Now again, Kiddush, he means the second part of Kiddush, not Vayechulu. The Mechaber just said, you should stand for Vayechulu. Okay? Now, why would we stand for Vayechulu? What's the idea of standing for Vayechulu? Excuse me? Okay, so that's a good idea. Yudke Vavke. We start with saying Yudke Vavke, right? So maybe we should stand because of that. But then, that's not the whole Vayechulu. So I could just sit down technically after I say, Yom HaShishi Vayechulu HaShamayim, and then just sit down. Okay? But why stand throughout the whole Vayechulu? So the reasoning is, because Vayechulu is considered an Eidos. It's considered a testimony. Right? We say Vayechulu because it's a testimony that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, He rested on the seventh, that's why we keep Shabbos. So since it's a testimony, we stand whenever we give testimony. In Beis Din, all Eidim used to stand when they give testimony. That's the halach of Eidus. So that's why we stand. We know when we say Vayechulu in Shul, we say it standing up. In fact, there's a whole discussion. If a person, let's say, davens a longer Shmona Esrei, and they don't get a chance to say Vayechulu with the Tzibur, should they try specifically to find someone else with whom to say Vayechulu? Why? Because if it's a testimony, testimony is always with two people. You don't do a testimony by yourself, right? Testimony is two Eidim. So that's why some people, it's all machlokas about it, but some people say, you should make sure you always say with two Eidim. So that's why the Shulchan Aruch writes that you should stand for Vayechulu, and the Rama says you could stand for the rest of it, but it's better to sit. Now, why is it better to sit? Why is it better to sit? According to the Rama, it's better to sit for the rest of Kiddush. So the concept is, because when we make Kiddush, okay, first of all, we're making Kiddush as part of our Suda, that's number one. And number two, very often, usually, we're being motzi other people in their obligation. Whenever you're doing that, the more stationary you are, the better. If I'm showing that I'm stationary because I'm sitting here and I'm done, I'm not walking around Nobody's milling about. We're sitting down. We have a kvius. We're stationary. We're established. That makes it much more serious of an event. And therefore, it's easier for me to connect that kiddush to my meal and to be motzi other people. But if I'm sitting down or standing up, and you know, one person's walking over here, one person's standing over there, which very often happens when you're standing, you know, one person's walking into the kitchen, you know, coming back, milling around by their seat. So it's less of a kvius, it's less of an established group. And therefore, that's why the Rama says that it's better if everyone sits for the kiddush part. Because if everyone's sitting, then everyone is set, everyone is established, and it's a kvius, it's a set group, it's an established group, you don't have to worry about people moving around. That's why he says it's better to sit. Now, he continues the Rama, that our custom is, v'noagim, the custom is, leishiv af b'shoshom v'ayachulu, to sit even while you say v'ayachulu, writes the Rama. Okay? Rak, k'shemaschilin, when you begin Kiddush, omdin k'tzas l'chvod Hashem, as Marvin said. But in the beginning, when you say, yom ha'shishi v'ayachulu ha'shamayim, which is a hint to the Shem Hashem, so then they're omdin k'tzas. I'm not sure what omdin k'tzas means. But you do one of those little, you know, in your seat, you could do a little, one of those little bumps, you know, like a, kind of a half-standing thing, you know? So you do that a little bit to give respect to the Shem Hashem, but otherwise, he says, our minhag is to sit. That's the Rama. So again, according to the Shulchan Aruch, you got to stand for Vayechulu. The Rama says, if you wish, you can stand for the whole thing. It's better to sit. Our minhag, says the Rama, is to sit. The Rama was written in Poland, right? He was from Poland. He says, our minhag is to sit. Different people have different minhagim, obviously. The Kaf HaChaim writes that there's actually a good reason to stand, okay, for the whole Kiddush. If you look at the Kaf HaChaim, one of the great Sephardi rabbis, but we learn his halachos very, very often. So writes the Kaf HaChaim, that's in the picture there of his print, of his sefer. V'yachol lamod b'shas HaKiddush, okay, he's quoting the wording of the Rama that you can stand if you wish. You can stand for the rest of Kiddush. However, he writes, "Ubishara kavanos daf ayna medalad kosav ditzarich lamar b'shasa kiddush." Al pi kabbalah, you're supposed to stand for Kiddush. So not only are you supposed to stand for vayechulu, but based on kabbalah and the kavanos, you're supposed to stand for the rest of Kiddush. Chen kosav in a certain sefer shara chesiyud perik yudalad. He would always say Kiddush standing up. Shabbos, Yom Tov, whenever he made Kiddush, he would make it standing up. And then after he was done Kiddush, he would sit down and drink. That anytime he made Kiddush, that's what he would do. Okay? So we have now, we have a minhag to stand for Vayechulu and sit for the rest. We have a minhag to sit for the whole Kiddush. That's what the Rama mentioned. We have a minhag of the Kaf HaChaim bringing different minhagim to stand for the whole Kiddush. So right now we have three different minhagim. Stand for Vayechulu, sit for the rest, sit for the whole Kiddush, or stand for the whole Kiddush. Okay? writes the Sharei Tshuva also. Again, he writes even a little different variation. And he writes, Vayein be certain sefer here to me sefer akavano shesidem maharash vital in the name of Rav Shlomo Vital muach the kiddush hayom harav hayomer miyushav kiddush by day he would sit right maharash vital kiddush by day he would sit chen nagu rabbanon kiddushay be yirakolish Yerushalayim. The minhag in Yerushalayim, he says, is that by day we sit, right? Daytime kiddush we sit for. So this is already another minhag that some people might stand for the Friday night kiddush. Okay, it sounds like even to stand for the whole thing Friday night, or certainly at least for Vayechulu, and then but Shabbos day they sit down. So right now we have about four different minhagim, okay? Which means that either way you go, you're okay. Whatever your personal family custom is, you have some sort of a basis for that custom. Unless the only custom I've never heard of is to sit for Vayechulu and stand for the rest. So if that's your custom, I don't know where that comes from. But other than that, you're totally fine. Most people either sit or stand for the whole thing, right? Most people sit or stand for the whole thing. I personally sit for every Kiddush. My father sits Friday night, like the minhag of the Rama. He sits Friday night, even for Vayechulu and Shabbos day. That's what I do. That's what we do. Excuse me. I don't do that bump. I don't do the bump. That's brought in the that's brought here. But I don't do that. But that's the that's my personal minhag. One time, someone invited me for a Friday night meal. They were hosting a Friday night meal for it was like some sort of like NCSY meal, and they invited me for Friday night. And you know, me with my family, we came Friday night to join them. And he asked me to make kiddush. So I said, sure, no problem. So he said, he announced, you know, loudly to everyone, Rabbi Polakoff's minhag is to sit for kiddush. So he said, Rabbi, that's why I invited you. I love sitting for kiddush. That's, you know, he invited me so he could sit for kiddush. But so some have this the minhag to sit for kiddush. In many yeshivos, they do the split. They stand for vayichulu because of the edus, and then they sit for the rest of kiddush. Most people, I think, in homes either sit for the whole thing or stand for the whole thing. My wife is totally confused because she grew up standing, and her father stands for kiddush, so she grew up standing, and I sit for kiddush. And now she's totally confused. She never remembers, you know, who does what. Does my father sit or do you stand? Does my father stand and you sit? I don't know. Just tell me what to do. I don't know. You know, I don't know what my minhag is now. So that's when you transfer, when you switch minhagim, it can get a little tricky. One thing the poskim do say is that, and this was referenced a little bit by the Kaf HaChaim, is that no matter what your minhag is, to sit or to stand, well, obviously sitting, but even if your minhag is to stand, it's better to drink sitting down. Better to drink sitting down. Why? It's just an etiquette thing. You know, it's a certain kavod for the kos that you drink sitting down. You know, people, you drink standing up, it's kind of like you're on the run. So here, you sit down, you take a drink, it's more of a kavod for the bracha, kavod for the kos, if you drink sitting down. So even if your minhag is to make kiddush standing up, the best thing to do is to sit down and then take a drink and proceed like that. Mirtzah Hashem will continue next week with some of the other halachas of kiddush, perhaps kiddush b'makom suda. Have a wonderful evening.